First, while not the only one struggling, many young adults have reportedly felt like they fell behind in life in 2020. And the years where they're supposed to be, in quotes, pursuing careers, marriage, learning more about themselves, adventuring, things have become slow going. For many who have lost jobs or moved back in with parents, it's even felt like backtracking. Our next guest says that while this feeling was intensified for many during the pandemic, our fantasy of young adulthood accomplishments and checkboxes doesn't match up with reality, even in normal times. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a young person, maybe in high school, in your 20s, what has your pandemic time been like? Have you felt anxious or worried about the progress you've been making or unable to make in this last year? Was there a milestone you'd hope to hit in 2020 that had to get postponed, and for how far? If you're older, do you look back and think your expectations about young adulthood were too ambitious? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rainsford Stauffer is a writer. Her forthcoming book about young adulthood is called An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. She wrote the piece, 2020 Felt Like a Wasted Year for Many Young Adults, for Vox. Rainsford, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me this afternoon.
Well, before we dig into 2020, you've been thinking a lot about how we think about our 20-something era. What are some of the popular things you see in the media, maybe in our pop culture, that are supposed to be, in quotes, in our 20s?
Absolutely. I think this is such a fascinating question because it's one of those things where the pressure seems to be coming from all sides. We have these very specific media tropes, everything from sitcoms to buddy comedies that sort of idealize young adulthood as this time where you're venturing off on a backpacking trip or an adventure, or you found the love of your life, or you've moved in with a great roommate in a new city, or you've gotten a new job. And then we've got kind of the more academic, societal workforce pressure where you're expected to go to college and know what you major in from the get-go, know what job that gets you on the back end, and kind of transition right into adulthood without ever second-guessing the path you're on, experiencing things that we call setbacks, but are often just kind of the reality of life, that everything kind of ebbs and flows and doesn't always stay on the straight and narrow trajectory. And it's almost like we've divided our ideas of young adulthood into these two bubbles. You're either adventurous and you're having fun all the time, and you have no responsibilities, which we know isn't entirely realistic, or you have everything figured out. You're never going to make a mistake. You're never going to fall off this certain path. And if you have, you've failed, which obviously doesn't match up with our reality now, but didn't before the pandemic either.
And a point you raise in the piece in Vox, Rainsford, is that for a big chunk of the population, their economic background, their means don't fit into either of those as a reality. Could you talk about that?
Absolutely. I think that sometimes when we talk about young adults or when we use the term millennials, and I think it's important to note that some millennials are approaching 40 if they're not there already, and that that's just, you know, the name of a generation of birth years, not young adults. I think we think of young adults as people who are hanging out on TikTok, most of whom are still in college and kind of have no responsibilities at all. And what you find when you speak to young people is that even for those who are students who do love TikTok, that's not the case. Lots of young people are already caretakers or parents. Lots of them have been working jobs since they were teenagers to support themselves or their families. And all of them, to some extent, are trying to find their way and kind of carve out a path for themselves in their lives where they can take care of each other, take care of their families, and find something fulfilling along the way.
And now that brings us to this pandemic year we just had or still having. Really, how do you see that impacting 20-somethings or people just hitting their 20s, maybe already feeling like they weren't hitting these already unrealistic expectations?
Absolutely. So what we know about this year is it stalled a lot of these external markers that we kind of societally consider part of growing up and living your best life as a young adult. And that could look like anything from a postponed graduation or wedding or a job offer being rescinded because of economic strains related to COVID. It could look like this idea that we're supposed to be traveling and hanging out with friends and all of these things that it's not to say we weren't doing them. It's just that that probably wasn't the whole story. story for everyone. Now, statistically, we know that young people ages 18 to 29 are moving back in with their parents at record rates. And that's something that's often kind of spun as a moral failing, like you didn't do enough or have enough in your savings account to make it on your own. But that ignores a lot of cultural implications or facets of someone's family life or their role as a caretaker that might just make it better for them to be in a more community-centered environment with their family, with other people. We saw college students booted from campuses and losing jobs and in some cases losing housing. And we know that the pandemic is set to postpone key life events even further if one chooses to do them at all. And I think that there's a pretty stark contrast between the life decisions that young people are trying to make now and even what it looked like a year ago, because now we're starting to look twice at some of these things and think, wait, was this ever entirely realistic?
We're talking to Rainsford Stauffer. Her upcoming book is called An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. We're talking about 2020, the pandemic, and how it may have disrupted some of those milestones young adults were hitting, expecting to hit, hoping to hit, and maybe why some of those weren't realistic, even in normal times. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Emmy is with us in Oshkosh. Emmy, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
What did you want to tell us about Emmy?
Well, I just wanted to mention I'm a 22-year-old, and I was going to purchase a home in 2019. And unfortunately, because of the pandemic, I wasn't able to. It had such an effect on the home buying market that prices went, they skyrocketed in my area. And so I was all set to buy a home, and then I had to do what a lot of my peers have had to do, which is move back in with my parents instead of becoming a homeowner.
How is that going, Emmy, if I may ask, living with your parents now?
It went about how you would expect living with your parents when you're an adult. I did get the opportunity to rent an apartment, but now, of course, I've got to put the home buying dream on hold for maybe another year or two.
All right. Well, Emmy, thank you so much for sharing your story and starting us off, and good luck with the home situation. Rachel, right there, one of the young adults you were talking about had not planned on moving in with her parents. Here she is hoping somewhere down the road she can get back into that that home buying mode.
Absolutely. And I think that that's such an important point for a variety of different reasons. And I think maybe the biggest one is something that tends to get overlooked in how we talk about generations, which is that, you know, no one expects to have these things that we often think of as setbacks. I think whether they are actually setbacks or not is kind of open to interpretation of the individual person and their circumstances. But nobody thinks, well, I'm going to have to drain my savings account. I busted it to earn for a medical bill. I'm not going to have to move back in with my parents. We don't really talk about these things when we talk about young adulthood. And I think that's why this myth that if these things happen to you, you failed, remains so persistent.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Alex now in Prairie du Chien. Alex, hello.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to share my story. When I was in my early 20s, I got my dream job, got out of college right about 6 months before the economy collapsed. And I had to move back home with my parents, and my unemployment barely covered my student loan payment. Real dark time for me. But obviously, you know, we got out of that. And when I got another job, I vowed never to have a kind of a big issue like that have so much control over me and my destiny. So I made savings and stability my priority just to be prepared. And when the pandemic came around, I had a substantial emergency fund. So I lost my job again. But in this respect, my lifestyle barely changed from saving and living below my means. So thank you.
Alex, thanks a lot. I hope you have gotten your job back or are getting your job back soon. Good luck to you. Alex, in that category range sort of people who got hit by the Great Recession just as they were entering the workforce, things settled down. Alex feels like he was ready this time around, but that double whammy for a lot of people of just that wrong age, I guess, in this case.
Absolutely. And I think that's really common, especially with millennials, people who are in their, you know, their later 20s, their 30s, in some cases, maybe even their 40s. There was one recession. And in some cases, it feels like we never entirely exited that recession. And I think that one of the things that's really important to know is that the pressures that are commonly aligned with, quote unquote, being young can't be divorced from things like race and class and socioeconomics. And in thinking about this, I was reading a survey of more than 38,000 students who had responded to this survey during the pandemic, and 58% were experiencing basic needs insecurity. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. They were experiencing housing insecurity. And so I think that we're seeing time and time again that these things have real ramifications on mental and physical health and how people make their way in the world.
Thanks a lot for that call, Alex. We're talking to Rainsford Stauffer. She's the author of the upcoming book, An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. She wrote a piece on young adulthood during the pandemic for Vox. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are a younger person yourself, a young adult, or just getting there or just out of that stage, has the pandemic made you change your perspective, your plans, and your life somehow? Did it affect your work life? Did you have to postpone a milestone you're expecting to hit, a home purchase, a big move, a wedding, you name it? Tell us your story. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Rainsford Stauffer, talking about her piece on Vox about young adults feeling like 2020 was a lost year in many ways for them, and about our misconceptions, our misplaced expectations for what young adulthood is supposed to look like, what it really looks like for people in their 20s-ish. You could join in if that's you at 800-642-1234, or maybe your kids, 800-642-1234. How did the pandemic affect the milestones you had hoped to hit, you thought you were going to hit maybe last year? Let's go back to your calls. Eli is with us in La Crosse. Eli, hello.
Hi. I just want to say, I'm a lot better off than a lot of other kids my age. Like, I'm 21. I went to trade school and learned how to weld. And I'm lucky enough that my employer has not had to lay me off for a lot. Like, we've been laid off for about a month and a half total for the year. But that's a lot better than a lot of other businesses right now. And if I had lost my job, I definitely would have had to move back to my parents, which would not have been great.
Gotcha. Eli, thank you so much for sharing that story. And, you know, when we talk about pop culture stories of people in their young adulthood, Rainsford, we don't often see the story of the kid who went to trade school, got a job in welding, that kind of thing. That's one of those scripts that isn't out there in pop culture, but in real life, it can work out pretty well.
Totally. I think that there's such a narrow presentation of young adulthood where every young person graduates college at 18. They're supported by their family. They go to a four-year college. They graduate and they immediately get a job. And what we know is statistically, that's just not the case anymore. Lots of students who do go to four-year universities do not graduate in 4 years. And that should not be an issue. That's one of the reasons that we've got to rethink the entire student debt crisis and make college free, or at least more affordable, because we need to create those opportunities that staying an extra couple years at school or taking one class at a time because you're working isn't an end of days scenario. Just like we have to invest and amplify narratives of young people taking other paths, whether that's a trade or vocational school, whether that's them working for their family business, whether that's caregiving, we need to amplify that as a form of labor that deserves compensation. There are so many different pathways to a successful, fulfilled life. And one of the things that inspires me most about the young people I talk to is that they're so open about rethinking these social structures and scripts that kind of give this very narrow perception of what this time of life ought to be like. Because I think what we're seeing is that it can be so many things for so many different people impacted by so many different circumstances.
Thanks a lot for sharing your story, Eli, at 800-642-1234. Let's go now to Reggie with us in Oshkosh. Reggie, hello.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you want to tell us about Reggie?
So when I was, you know, a young teenager, I was homeless. I was raised by some horrible parents. And in my 20s, it was just a fight to work and go through all these different jobs to find something to sustain myself and then a small family. And, you know, a lot of people have these expectations that, you know, your 20s is just, you know, having fun and living life, when in reality, you should be setting yourself up for later in life so you can have fun later when you're old. You know, I advise all the 20-year-olds, open a 401k, get money put away so that when stuff like this happens, you can stay afloat.
Reggie, thank you so much for sharing your story. And that's, again, Rainsford, somebody who doesn't follow that script, but is definitely out more represented in reality, homelessness, just trying to get by in his 20s.
Definitely. And, you know, one of the things it made me think of is this kind of idealization we do in America all the time in particular, because it's a very ageist society. And we can see that in the lack of consideration for elderly people that's been underscored time and time again during the pandemic. But part of this youth-centric pressure, this idea that we're going to have it all figured out by 30, is kind of depressing, because first of all, it means, well, we're never going to have fun later when we're older. And number two, it kind of puts you in this live in the now, do everything you need to do right this second. And if you don't, you failed or you're behind mentality that just doesn't line up with the lives a lot of us are leading. In reality, I think it's possible to be a young person who does have fun and enjoy their young adulthood while also thinking about the kind of future they want to have, the kind of society they want to live in.
Thanks a lot again for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Rainsford Stauffer. She's got a book coming out called An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. She wrote a piece for Vox on 20-somethings, how 2020 was a lost year in many ways for them, and also the misleading expectations we have about what young adult life might look like. We heard from Elizabeth in Madeline Island. She called in to say she's a parent. She said everything in young people's lives were going great in so many ways. COVID was the first time for many, they experienced any kind of hardship. And Rainsford, in some ways, I mean, we haven't had anything like this disease in 100 years. So this was a new novel experience for people of this generation and maybe a generation or two before them.
I think it's certainly a new experience for everyone. And I think that it depends a lot on the individual and their circumstances. But statistically, this isn't the first time that a lot of young people have experienced hardship. You know, things like housing insecurity, basic needs insecurity, homelessness, trying to be a caretaker for an aging parent or their own child, mental health, all of these things we know were impacting young people before the pandemic. And I think what's happened is it's taken them and amplified a lot of these issues. You know, Black and brown young adults are feeling the pandemic's impacts the most. And we know that in terms of unemployment and underemployment, Black and brown young people are more likely to have experienced unemployment during the pandemic compared to young white people. We know that young people are experiencing increased levels of anxiety and depression, depending on the study you read. And so I think it's important to keep in mind that the pandemic definitely amplified some of these things. But in a lot of cases, for a lot of people, it's not the root cause.
And we've gotten some great stories from our callers. You also, for this piece, Rainsford, talked to a lot of people about how they were coping coming out of 2020. One interesting response I saw, I think one young woman you talked to said, "Hey, I just realized life's too short. I got married." Talk about that story a little.
Yes, what an incredible story. This woman is incredibly accomplished. She'd worked on 3 political campaigns, ended up losing several relatives to COVID-19, and decided that, especially as a Black woman in a time where Black women are being killed in their own homes by police, decided to, as she put it, embrace joy, and said that she'd had a lot of joy in her life this year because life was just kind of too short to not really seize those moments when you can grab hold of them. And I felt that that was a really powerful example of being able to look at your own life and certainly not ignore the hardships. There are very real social issues that are impacting every single one of us right now, Black and brown young adults most especially, but being able to look at those issues and still think, think I'm going to choose joy where I can. I don't think that ignores that there are major issues facing our society right now that have to be rectified for us to all live our quote unquote best lives. But I was really inspired by the idea that someone decided to seize happiness where they could find it.
Time for one more call. Chelsea is with us in Madison. Chelsea, hi.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to talk about my experience this year. And I had, previous to this, a pretty stable, well-paying job, but I just wasn't happy with it. And in February, I decided to quit and kind of follow my dreams and took a job in event management, which has been just, a comically horrible timing. And so now I'm kind of stuck in a place where I've obviously where I'm at isn't working, and I don't really want to go back to where I was before. And there is definitely that deadline of I'm reaching the end of my 20s.
Wow, Chelsea, thank you. Well, talk about moments and bad timing, a hard-hit sector of the economy, Rainsford. What do you think hearing Chelsea's story?
I think that that echoes so many stories I've heard from young people, and in some instances have experienced myself over the last couple years, where even your best laid plans and those moments that you decide to really go for it, which is what we tell young people to do. We kind of act as though, you know, economics or circumstances or any of these things, you can overcome all of that if you just work hard enough and really go for your dreams. And that's obviously never been the case. It's never been reality for a lot of young people. But I think we're seeing now why it's so important for us to have a social safety net in place and really focus on overall well-being, not just of young people, but of people in general, because we can have the best laid plans and the most closely held dreams and still encounter circumstances where following those paths just isn't realistic through no fault of our own.
Well, Chelsea, good luck to you. I look forward to attending many events. I don't really care what they are in the hopefully not too distant future. And Rainsford, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the amazing callers that shared such interesting stories.
They did. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Rainsford Stauffer is a writer. Her forthcoming book about young adulthood is called An Ordinary Age, Finding Your Way in a World That Expects Exceptional. She wrote a piece in Vox about young adults, how they're dealing with the pandemic, and why our expectations about young adulthood don't always match up with reality. We've got a link to her piece, by the way, at WPR.org/Central Time.